Welcome to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified GYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. God is in control. We believe that his children will not be forsaken. God is in control. And now here are your hosts for NFP for Life, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our radio program here on WISP 1570 AM Holy Spirit Radio. Betty and I are very pleased and happy to be with you again this month as we prepare to enter into the Advent season in the upcoming weeks. And we have a really great program for you today with some special guests. But before we dive into the program and introduce our guests, I'd like Betty to open with a prayer.
Welcome, everyone, and we're going to open with a prayer to a novena prayer to Our Lady of Good Remedy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Queen of Heaven and Earth, Most Holy Virgin, we venerate Thee. Thou art the beloved daughter of the Most High God, the chosen mother of the Incarnate Word, the Immaculate Spouse of the Holy Spirit, the sacred vessel of the Most Holy Trinity. O Mother of Divine Redeemer, who under the title of Our Lady of Good Remedy comes to the aid of all who call upon Thee. Extend Thy maternal protection to us. We depend on Thee, dear Mother, as helpless and needy children depend on a tender and caring mother. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, that's an appropriate opening prayer because, you know, Betty and I sit down and we try to come up with topics every month. And when we first started this radio program, a little over 3 years ago, we never thought that there would be enough topics on natural family planning to fill airtime for 3+ years of station time. But it never ceases to amaze us that Our Lady of Good Remedy does send us gifts every month with programming topics. And the couple that we have with us today are Allison and Gary Steele. And they'll get into talking a little bit more about themselves, but they are truly gifts in our lives, as they are the newest in natural family planning instructors for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And they're just coming off of teaching their first natural family planning class about 2 weeks ago. So we'll get into talking a little bit about that as we go along with our interview. I would like to remind you that our phone lines are open at 215-345-1570. Feel free to give us a call if you have any questions for either Gary or Allison, or any comments that you'd like to make about any of their statements, or if you have any questions for Betty and I, feel free to call. We'll be here till 5 p.m. this evening, and we'd love to talk to you. So, Betty, if you want to start.
Okay. Well, welcome, Allison and Gary. We have the privilege of meeting you a few years ago when you started to when you came to us for NFP. So I'd like to ask you, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? So I'm going to start with Allison.
Good.
Okay, and you know, maybe you can tell us where you're from, and you know.
Okay, how long you want to go?
You know, you're married, you have kids, you know, their kids' names, maybe they're listening.
Okay, we've been married about 8 years, Gary and I, and we have three children. We have Joe, who's 5, Eva, who's going to be 4 in December, John, who's 2, and then I'm due in March, so I'm having trouble remembering them because of my pregnancy. I met Gary through Matchmakers International, actually, a dating service. And I was looking to meet someone to marry. So I was very specific as to who I'd like to meet at that time. And it's kind of funny because I had certain criteria at that time of who I'd like to meet and marry and that sort of thing. And he fit the bill, definitely. And now I think about how different our life is and how different we are as individuals. And I think part of that due to NFP And it's just funny how much things have changed.
Hmm.
Or even over to 8 years. So I'm amazed.
And Gary, how about you?
Well, as Allison said, we met through a dating service, but just to fill in a little bit more, because my life took kind of a drastic turn even before I met her. I was previously married and was raised Lutheran, so I had no familiarity with the Catholic background. And the reason I met her through a dating service, I was separated at the time, and I was really just looking to meet somebody, and I really wasn't comfortable, you know, with the normal social scene. Went through a dating service, and she was like the third person I met. And as I got to know Allison, and she was Catholic at the time, I started going to Mass with her and started getting familiar with the church, and I actually decided to become Catholic. And we went that route initially through pre-canon St. Stanislaus, and we met some other people there, and I think that's when we started finding out about natural family planning, because they had brochures and they had some literature, and it was right around this, I guess, fall of 99 when I was going through the process of becoming Catholic, and we were making a decision about trying to have a baby, and that's really when we decided didn't want to contracept anymore. We made the decision to move forward on NFP.
What was your so I guess you heard about natural family planning at pre-Cana.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what was your initial impression the first time you heard about natural family planning? And Allison, we'll flip it over to you after Gary responds, because I'd be interested to see what you knew from your Catholic background about NFP before you got to the pre-Cana classes, because the purpose behind all this is to let people know that we are normal average people sitting in this booth coming to you on Catholic radio, and that we come from a diverse background, and that natural family planning is like not something that's really strange from another planet, but something that normal average people can do very well. And so these stories really help our listening audience know that they too can make a change from wherever they are in their lives. So what was your initial impression when you heard the pre-Cana instructors?
I think originally we saw the pamphlets, and really it was right around my conversion, because I was really, when I was going through the conversion process, I read Humanae Vitae, and it really was a life-changing experience, and I really wanted to know more about the faith. So when I started, my initial reaction to NFP was I didn't really have a reaction to it until I read Humanae Vitae and I started reading the Catechism, and I jumped in. I wanted to become Catholic. And then both of us together, we looked at it, and then we decided we wanted to move forward with it. So it wasn't until I decided to become Catholic that I really wanted to accept everything. And I wanted to know more about it. And then I remember when you and Betty and Lisa, I can't remember her husband's
name. Lisa and Mark.
Yeah, Lisa and Mark
Pellegrino,
started teaching us.
Yeah.
I think because I was open, and because I was converting, I was open to NFP, so I went into it with an open heart, and we just completely accepted it. But I think, and I'll let my wife add something so I don't hog this here.
As a Catholic, at least
Allison,
did you know about NFP?
No, actually I didn't. I was sort of think of myself as being very Catholic, you know, raised Catholic. But I really, my upbringing was pretty, I was not educated very well in the Catholic faith, I would say. I didn't go to Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to CCD. I lived out on a farm. We had farm work to do. And I credit my parents for teaching me what I did know about being Catholic. I mean, I remember them kind of having me memorize things about the catechism, probably from when they were children,
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
the 40s and 50s. So, and I remember that. And I remember going to church and having really neat, pure spiritual experiences going to church. I really enjoyed it. But as far as my education in being Catholic and what was right and wrong overall, I don't think I had a good foundation. I didn't really know my catechism, that sort of thing. So when I met Gary, I was contracepting. We continued to contracept, and I didn't really look into it. I had a sense, I think I had an innate sense of that it was not something that I should be doing, but didn't really look into it because, heaven forbid, I might look into it and find out that I shouldn't be doing this. So when he converted, which was a shock, because he had told me no, he would always remain his previous faith, which was Lutheran. It was a kind of topsy turvy kind of thing. It happened spontaneously. He decided, or he had heard God's call to become Catholic and went through the process of RCIA. And during that time, he started really looking into what it was like to be Catholic. So I had to kind of
study also
to keep up with him. Right.
Did
exactly.
you go through the RCIA program with him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I think a lot of couples that have a marriage like that, one is Catholic and one's non-Catholic, and then the one converts. The Catholic is the one that learns so much because we really don't have, a lot of us don't have a strong foundation. I know even with myself, I never really knew what NFP was growing up Catholic. I knew contraception was wrong, but I didn't know anything about NFP. And so I think that's a wonderful awakening for you to have all that reinforced to go through RCIA.
Yeah, it was a great experience. Now I think to myself when we look back, I was going through it with Gary that, oh my gosh, this RCIA program is so long. It starts out in September and it doesn't end till May. I was like, would I have converted, myself? But then it was wonderful. And mm-hmm. he's still part of the team there at the church and parish. And so that's really been a blessing too. So NFP has just been part of, I think it just propelled us spiritually to where we needed to go.
Now, my next question is not directly related to natural family planning, but it has a purpose because when we do these interviews, we like to try to make it teaching moments for the listening audience, for everybody out there who's really listening on Friday afternoon on Catholic Radio here at 1570 AM. And I'm sure that we're all aware, the four of us sitting here, that there is a particular period in time in one's life when you become more spiritually awakened than you were before. And mine didn't happen actually until I was in my mid-40s. And everybody knows my story about giving up contraception and NFP. So would you say that this RCIA experience and your marriage was the beginning of your awakening because you guys were, what, late 20s maybe, mid-20s?
Mid-30s.
Mm-hmm. When this all started, so.
Yeah, I would definitely say so because right before I met Allison, I wasn't doing anything. I was brought up Lutheran and I went to Sunday school and I, up until about high school, and I just totally got away from it. So there was a period of about 10 years, I guess, even before I met her, and my previous wife was Jewish and I really didn't practice my faith. And so spiritually, I wasn't dead, but I was almost dead.
Asleep.
I was asleep, and I prayed the Our Father. That's basically what I did. And I kind of accepted things, and I would hear, of course, the pro-choice and the pro-life, and I didn't even have a stance on that. I was kind of indifferent. So the awakening was definitely meeting Allison because I prayed to God to meet somebody. I didn't want to go through the experience I went through last time because it was a very tough experience. And I prayed to God to meet the right person. I felt called to be a father and a husband. So Allison was my introduction to the church, and then from there it was RCIA, and from there I was really looking at our faith together and looking at openness to children and talking about it, and that's when NFP kind of came in because Allison said she was on the pill, and that's all we knew was contraception. I never heard of NFP until in pre-Canaan, looking at the pamphlets, and it's just when we looked at our faith and said, this is what the church teaches. And when I became Catholic, I said, I want to accept everything. I want to start new. I met somebody new. It's a new chapter in my life. And I just remember we both looked at it, and we read Humanae Vitae, we read the Catechism, and we said, we're going to accept this. It wasn't easy at first. It was a big change, but absolutely a freeing experience, and it felt right. So it was definitely linked, as she said, to that change in that huge change in my life spiritually. It just tied right in.
Now, this is a little bit of an aside, but now that you can reflect back on it, since you were contracepting before, as a man and as a husband, what are your feelings about your wife taking the hormonal contraceptives? And then, Allison, I'm going to ask you, reflecting back on it, knowing what you know now about the hormones, what are your feelings for women out there who may be, you know, taking hormonal contraceptives?
Yeah, and knowing what I do and listening to all the great facts you put out in your presentations, I mean, I wish it's something we wouldn't have never have done. Because at the time, I just remember, we just looked at it as just, I didn't even think about the side effects. It's just, all we thought about is, how long do we want to postpone children? Well, you're on the pill, and we never even gave it a thought. So when I think about all the side effects and all the harm, I'm so grateful, thanks be to God, that we made the move and left it behind. And I would never even consider it, and I would never want her to do it again. And I would hope that other women would know about the effects, or at least question what you're doing. I mean, if anything, question the effects and what you're doing, because NFP has no side effects.
Right.
And well, good side effects, I would say.
And as a woman, looking back when we made that decision, I think there was definitely a fear in my mind of, oh my gosh, you know, even though I never really considered the side effects of the oral contraceptives, I never had to think about really getting pregnant before. And, cause, you know, you think you're on the oral contraceptives, it's 100% effective, which it's not. But, so it took a leap of faith to do that. And, I think we were just at the right time in our lives to consider doing this. And I, looking back now, I'm like, I try to take every opportunity I can. I'm starting with my family first, and you know, bring it up in conversation, you know, to tell them, I've told my sisters, this is what we do, because I don't want to see them on these contraceptives, because for moral reasons, for physical reasons, emotional reasons, et cetera. So,
and needless to say, I'm sure that when you got the prescription the first time, your doctor that gave it to you just went through the entire litany of all of the potential negatives as well as the positives. Or was it like Betty's comment, can I have some? Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, pretty much that. And I actually got them through a clinic because I had some problems at that time in my life, and my parents didn't want me on oral contraceptives. I was really young. And no, they just hand them out like candy.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, for our listeners, our phone lines are open at 215-345-1570 if anybody has a question or a comment and they'd like to call in. Again, 215-345-1570.
Now, we'll fast forward a little bit. So you guys got married and decided to use NFP. What compelled you to come to that first class, and then beyond that, obviously you had to learn how to do it if you were going to use it. What ever compelled you to want to become instructors in natural family planning?
To go to the first class, well, first of all, we didn't feel comfortable that what we knew on our own was sufficient to make us comfortable in using it. We felt Gary and I are big planners. We have to plan everything out. So we felt that we would have a better handle on it if we went to the classes and actually learned through the classes, gathering all the information. Because there's great books out there that are available. And that my sisters, who are not in an area that I don't think they have teaching classes, actually. It's quite rural. But they've learned the method through the books. But we decided to go to the class because it's available in this area, very readily available to go to any of these classes. And then after we went through, I don't know when it was that we decided to become teachers exactly, but I think it might have been early on where we went to the class, said, this is great information. The classes were great. We want to share this with other people. We felt such a sense of, well, like Gary said, freedom, joy in doing the symptothermal method, and we wanted to share it with others. So I think I just called the Family Life Office and said, you know, I don't know how we're going to be able to do this with the kids and everything, but we wouldn't mind being instructors at some point. And at that time, it was actually a couple of years ago. They had said, well, we're kind of in the middle of training our trainers with the new program, so you might have to wait a while. And we did. We just said, well, and it'll all happen when it's meant to happen, and it has. So I'm very thankful to God to be able to share with others.
Do you think taking a class actually gave you more of a comfort level in practicing NFP? Because I know as a woman and a lot of women, they're afraid to stop contracepting because they're afraid of pregnancy. They're afraid of themselves, really, because they don't know what their bodies are telling them or what their bodies can do. And they're leaving it up to a pill. But it's difficult because you don't know when to stop, you know?
Yeah, and there is definitely a fear there. I had some medical issues besides, so I was concerned about that. What am I going to do without having this pill to, for example, stop my bleeding, heavy bleeding, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we just prayed. I'd say anybody that's even considering it to just pray about it,
mm-hmm.
with their spouse, because it really is a mutual decision. If we weren't both on board with this, it wouldn't have worked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. But
did you have a comfort level though, or a confirmation just by taking the class that it was really a legitimate method and that it would work for you personally? Or were you still a little tentative?
I think I was a little tentative. I don't know about Gary, but I was tentative still, even taking the class, because, you know, you don't know who's teaching these classes. It could be some religious zealot, you know.
You know. Yeah, that's Betty and I. We're religious zealots.
But when I took the class, I felt like I got more information that confirmed that what we were doing was in line with the truth of God.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that's really more what the class confirmed for me, because you can read, like I said, you can read a book about it, but the class is when you talk to the instructors and they make it real for you.
Mm-hmm.
We've had struggles with NFP as well. We've, you know, this is what we did to do this. We've had trouble with the abstinence part too. It's not just you. All these things that come up with the NFP that, you know, as a new couple using NFP for the first time, you're unsure,
mm-hmm.
and you're fearful. I think, you know, not always, but, you know, I think there might be the tendency to. And that just confirmed my mind that all the things that they were saying, it just sounded like the truth to me. So
mm-hmm.
Do you want anything?
Probably the only thing I would add, I was kind of thinking back around that time, and it was when I was going through the conversions. I know that our faith played a huge part in it, because we went from something we were comfortable with at the time, being on the pill, we didn't even think about it, to the decision that after we had our first, no more pill, and we're gonna move forward. We believed in it. And for me, I guess it was all part of accepting the faith of the church. I absolutely believed in it, but it was still new, and I knew for us to make that step, it had to be by our faith, and I just knew it was right. But our faith was critical, because it's something, before it's like you feel like you have control of the pill, and you get a kind of an inverted sense of the truth, and then when you let go of that, and then you accept God's natural law, and you kind of walk with Him. And for us, it's like then you realize you're walking in faith. So it wasn't something overnight where we had the class. It's like we had the class, we talked about it, opened up our faith, and it just has gone from there. So it's something that's a faith. It's a new journey in our faith.
And I appreciate all the personal commentary that you're willing to make here on this public radio program. And for a teaching point again, from your own experience, what do you think is the biggest detriment or problem with people accepting natural family planning in the general population? You mentioned a little bit about your sisters, Allison, and you've had experience. I'm sure you talk to guys when you're out, and family members and friends, now that they know that you're not only users of NFP but instructors in NFP, and now you're on the radio talking about NFP, and so you've gone public. You know, only 4% of the population is using NFP. When we teach classes, as you saw in our last class, and thank God for the three couples that came. But we had a room that could have held 50 couples, and you'd like to see 50 couples out there, and we have 3, 5, 8, 10, and although Betty and I have seen an increase over the years, there's still a lot of reluctance. We're talking about people in their 20s and 30s. They're all going through premarital training, classes, whatever. And Gary, you even mentioned a little bit earlier, and this is not to talk about NFP specifically, but it has no side effects and it doesn't affect your body. So what's the hang up? What do you think the issue is?
I think part of the issue is, and this is just kind of people that I'm around or even our perspective before we use this, I really think people and people I know too, they've had this sense of control, like I'm going to have two kids, I'm going to have this lifestyle, and I'm going to do this for the next 20 years. I think part of it is like they feel like if they're using NFP that they lose that control, that if something happens and the baby comes, it's a horrible thing, it's an accident. I've come across that mindset. And one thing that's inverted our thinking on that is when we started using NFP, well, you know what, we still can plan, but we're planning with God, and now it's openness. I really think that's part of it because I've even been around some colleagues, and it's like, and they can't even understand. I mean, it doesn't even faze me. And we're having our fourth child, and it's like, you know.
On purpose?
Is this planned? Are you crazy? You know, and I just laugh about it because I think that's what it is. People kind of plan their lifestyle, and contraception's a control. I mean, it's like you're controlling, I'm going to have this child here, and then I'm going to have it here, and I'm going to.
Do you think people that practice NFP have a different outlook on family and children and, the meaning of it all?
I could speak for us, absolutely. I was thinking about this the other day. We're having our fourth child, and when we were still contracepting, I remember Allison having these conversations for like a few years when we were planning for our first, and of course planning 10 years out. I would often wonder, like, what if we didn't switch to NFP? Like, would we be having our fourth child now? And how sad that would be if we wouldn't know this fourth child. I know we would have had a different mindset because Allison was at Merck. We were going down different paths. And when we started using this NFP, we made a different choice. And then we were open to having the third. And now, after a year and a half of prayerful discussion, praise be to God, the fourth's coming. So I'll let you add if you want to add anything.
Well, we have seen this control issue, and one of the, if you noticed, although you may have been a little bit too nervous to notice, and it played a little quietly at our intro, but our introductory music is God is in Control. Yep. And we specifically selected that particular piece after Betty and I had talked about it and prayed on it for a few months, I guess, and listened to more religious CDs than you could possibly want to listen to in a short period of time. And we felt that this spoke to the fact that, you know, God is in control of everything. But what amazes me is you're in more control using natural family planning than you are relinquishing your control to a hormonal contraceptive made by a pharmaceutical company that may affect your body adversely and doesn't give you a guaranteed success rate. Like you said, Allison, everybody thinks it's 100%, and it's really not. There are still a million and a half unplanned pregnancies in teenagers, 3.5 million unplanned pregnancies annually, and the majority of these people were contracepting. And so they're really not in control. And I think the divorce rate and the sexually transmitted disease rate and the abuse of women rate and families falling apart rate and a lot of other issues all stem from this desire to control but trying to find the control in the wrong way. And maybe you hit upon a marketing aspect of natural family planning that I had not thought about before, and then marketing that it is a control thing because you are in charge of monitoring your signs and you are in charge of charting them and documenting them correctly, and you therefore know your fertility, and it's not just guesswork, and then you can choose whether or not you want to engage in intimacy or not based on where you are in your cycle. So you're in a lot more control that way. You know a lot more about what's going on with your body and your cycle with natural family planning than you do with any of the other artificial methods that people use to plan their families. So maybe we need to think about that. We'll just jot that down for marketing for the future.
Okay, I'll put that right down here.
We'll do a program on control.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Well, think about this as a marketing aspect, not to pick on doctors. But when you go to a doctor's office, how many doctors have a pamphlet for natural family planning in their office as an option for women? Just there, not you know, Catholic based or anything, just a generic natural family planning pamphlet in their office to offer women an option to say, gee, this is a viable option. And a pamphlet would include the effectiveness. It's comparable to anything else you can use. It's, you know, and it doesn't even have to go into the moral aspect of it's morally acceptable in the Catholic Church.
The problems, and I've spoken about these before on previous programs, but, and it's not an excuse, it's just that's the way it is. The doctors are not hearing anything about natural family planning in medical school or in their training. They don't even know it exists. I'm a case in point, just like you guys. 6 years ago, I knew nothing about natural family planning, had been a Catholic my entire life, not properly catechized like you. Didn't really know what was going on relative to any of those issues. And yet a priest confronted me with the natural family planning issue, and the rest is history. And now I have those pamphlets in my office. But as I go out to the medical schools and I talk to med students at various schools, there are a small number that are interested. I don't know what they do with the information after I leave, because they only get the one class maybe out of 4 years. They might hear me or somebody else talk one time for an hour, and then that's pretty much it. And so for them to even know where to get a pamphlet. So what I've encouraged is that since 4% of the population are out there, if you have a doc that doesn't know about NFP and you are you using or you want to use NFP, then I've told the patients, you drop the pamphlet off and say, can you put these in your waiting room, or can you just hand these out, or can you have them sitting here, and you can call down to Family Life Office. You can go to One More Soul. They will sell you all the pamphlets you can imagine. And then we can just individually have them deposited in the areas. And maybe somebody would come in and say, hey, I picked up a pamphlet in your waiting room about this natural family planning. What do you know about it? I don't know. But,
not much, right?
But it might be the word that they need to look into it. It might be the impetus that they need, especially Catholic docs. I have two Catholic partners, and they contracept and they're aware of NFP and they know what it is, but they do not espouse it. And I attempt to educate them as much as possible and drop tapes on their desk and things like that. But you're absolutely right. The doctors, the medical profession is at a significant loss, and we have an uphill battle. And that's why we're so appreciative of lay people. And John Paul has talked about the responsibility of the laity to evangelize, and this is an evangelization process. And you certainly have a lot more credibility as a young couple, especially one who's with child, getting up in front of a bunch of other couples and speaking to your own personal witness and saying how you went from artificial contraception to natural family planning and why and what it has meant in your marriage, in your life, than a doc that's standing in an office trying to sell a product. The issue is that there's no pharmaceutical companies that are going to take hold of this because there's no money to be made from it.
Well, I'd like to make a comment about that with physicians' offices, because I feel that if you go to a physician, you're going for health care. And I truly believe that natural family planning is health care, where contraception, is that really caring for your health? I'm not really sure that's the true answer to that. But to have a healthy body, a lot of doctors will give you a good diet, how to eat healthy. Well, this is how to live healthy, to practice NFP, because you're not, you know, filling your body with hormones and, you know, things like that. And you are having an idea of what your body can do, your natural functions of your body. So I think that my hope is that someday most doctors will understand what natural family planning is and know that it truly is for health care and not just prescribing hormonal contraceptions.
Speak a little bit more, and either one of you can address this, about the response. Allison, you mentioned your sisters, but the response that you've had from family and friends in whatever conversations you've had relative to NFP.
Okay, so repeat that again for the pregnant woman.
Speak a little more about what response you've got from either family or friends in your conversations that you had when you tell people that you and Gary have decided you're going to use natural family planning. You're crazy, you're nuts, what is it? A little bit of both.
I get sort of the same reaction pretty much from everyone who is not using NFP. The people that use NFP, I have no problem conversing about it. My sisters, I think, because I'm the oldest, seem receptive. They're using NFP currently, as far as I know. I just get the sense that in general it's uncomfortable. Like, you can have these billboards on the highways with advertising gentlemen clubs and have all these pictures in magazines and billboards and on television of all kinds of sexually not so implicit material, but yet when you talk about your sexuality or natural family planning, people get very uncomfortable. So it's a balance when I feel called to evangelize, obviously, as my husband does, about NFP, because we think it's such a wonderful thing. But it's like striking a balance in conversation. Like, you just don't want to run up to people with pamphlets.
Right.
Family or not.
Sure.
And so I guess I'll just leave it at that. It's striking a balance between, you know, what couples consider private in their lives, but also just letting people know about it as an option.
Have you ever been challenged? Oh, it doesn't work. That's rhythm. I had that happen to me the other day. I actually got into a little discussion with a patient.
I don't recall being challenged, but I expect it.
Yeah, the patient argued with me that what I was telling her was rhythm. I very emphatically showed her in some articles and some literature that I have in the office and told her that it was not. Oh, it's the same thing. I said, it's absolutely not, and you're misinformed, and you're not aware of what the new scientific information is. And after I spoke to it a little bit more, she just said, well, it's still rhythm.
Well, you know, my comment about that with the rhythm thing is, you know, it's our grandmother and our mother's form of NFP. But what was so terrible about that? They still knew their bodies. They still weren't, you know, pumping their bodies with hormones.
And it worked 56% of the time.
And they
it's not exactly like it was 10% or 5%. You know,
and
it did work more than half the time.
Yeah, so. And they were accepting to their marriage vows. I think a lot of women that contracept in this society today are unmarried. So, you know, they're really not in conformity with the church's teachings anyway. So to be married and to be in a loving, caring relationship, why would you want to have your spouse, you know, threaten their bodies with whatever? You know, one thing about NFP, it's not just about postponing or achieving pregnancies. It's about a loving, caring marriage and relationship.
We have about 20 minutes left to go. If anybody's interested in calling in and making any comments or asking a question of any of the four of us, our lines are open at 215-345-1570. I had another question as a follow-up on that previous question. Have you had any interaction or response, either positive, negative, or otherwise, from your parish? Have you announced yet that you're NFP instructors and let the priests know?
And also, let's mention your parish that you are in.
Well, maybe they don't want to mention it. They had a negative response.
I'll start out with this, and then I'll let Allison talk, because actually she's trying to get an NFP ministry started, and it's just kind of planting a seed right now. But I think for us, we've had it annual. I guess we just had it recently. We've had the NFP teacher. We want to make it annual. We've brought it up with our pre-can, and it's always kind of been part of our pre-can talks, at least a small part. And we've tried to talk about it more and put it out more with that group and have them sponsor it. But Allison really feels, even lately, that she wants to try to push it further. Our parish is St. Stanislaus.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been active there, I guess. Well, you've been active longer than I have, but I was received in the church 4.5 years ago, so I've been active since then. But we know we have to kind of put it out there slowly, but we feel strongly enough about it, and there's many people that aren't informed about it. So we're going to try to let the Holy Spirit work in us and see where he takes us.
Are the priests and deacons receptive enough that they would homilize on natural family planning around, you know, Humanae Vitae anniversary, NFP week in July, Right to Life Sunday, any of those big, you know, holidays? Because there is a general reluctance, and for the first time I'm St. Ignatius, and this year was the very first year that we had all of the priests and deacons,
second year,
that we had all the priests and deacons on board for doing homilies on NFP, and praise be to God that they were, you know, open to it. But it took, you know, we've been doing NFP for 5 years, and it took a few years. You just got to keep hammering
away. And plus, with your priests and deacons, they don't want to open a can of worms that they can't explain. So that if they know that they have an NFP teaching couple that they can refer people to, it's a lot more comforting for them. But, have you ever had any homilies or anything like that at your parish? Or would your parish priests be open to homilizing?
You know what? Our parish, I think, is wonderful. It's really a blessing to be at St. Stanislaus. And they've been very receptive, mm-hmm, to the whole NFP. Like Gary said, it's part of the the pre-cana. They're even considering, bringing into the RCIA program just to let people know that are coming into the church about it. I can't speak for the priests as far as what homilies that they choose to do, but I think they've been very receptive, very positive. I haven't had any negative reaction about it. In fact, just recently talked to one of the priests that in our parish that's involved with the pre-cana program and said, hey, listen, I want to talk to you, bring this up to Monsignor's attention about starting the NFP ministry at St. Stanislaus. And he was like, great, let's write down our ideas, let's get together.
Oh, wonderful.
And let's bring it to Monsignor. So,
great.
So I'm really excited. I haven't really met up with any roadblocks with NFP at our parish.
And I think a lot of the priests that are coming out of the seminary right now, they are thrilled. Absolutely. To know that there's people like you that are willing to be there for parishioners for NFP, to teach classes and to help him help to spread the word of the truth of what the Catholic Church teaches about NFP and contraception.
Yeah, we're excited about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think we can get more people interested?
In teaching or just...
Well, just to get the word out. I mean, how do you, you know, just now that you've been involved for a period of time and you've gone through the instructor program and you've used it and now we're speaking about it. We talked a little bit about marketing earlier. Do you have any individual thoughts that you would think or that you would like to say to our listening audience about, you know, I mean, we're talking about the benefits and it helps marriage and things like that, but do you have any thoughts about how we could get more people interested in natural family planning or at least to come to a class and focus on it other than doing it at the grassroots at the parish?
Prayer. I think anyone that's considering it should be praying about it, saying, oh, you know, I'd look at us and I think, do we really have time to be teaching NFP when we have, you know, our fourth on the way? I have two special needs children. Gary's busy at work. He has long days. You know, it's typical American, mm-hmm, family these days. Everyone's so busy. But I'd pray about it because I just felt like because of our spirituality, because of our being able to pray together as a family, as couples, individually, perpetual adoration has been a wonderful blessing at our parish. That has helped us hear what we feel God is telling us to do, mm-hmm. What we feel God is calling us to do. I think what we're doing already is definitely planting seeds, the classes, and we're praying for more couples to come in. More couples are coming to teach. We're starting to see that and that's really very promising. I think I'm very optimistic about the future of natural family planning.
I feel the same way. I think that it's really starting to be out there a little bit more, and people are at least hearing natural family planning, the words of, you know, and maybe they will inquire about it, because I think, though, a lot of people that start to have more of a fullness of faith are willing to open themselves to it. And a lot of people haven't gotten there yet, but it will come. What do you think about the, it seems like a lot of our classes, a lot of people decide after their first baby that they don't want to contracept anymore. Do you find that with, like, you know, friends and family and people taking NFP classes, that they're actually becoming more aware maybe of their parenthood or their responsibilities that they have to think about what they're getting involved in?
Yeah, I'd definitely say for us that was really life-changing, because when Allison went off the pill and we were planning to have our first child, and that was such an amazing experience, having a child and just realizing, because up until then we didn't see the life-giving aspect of our sexuality. It was just sex without. So then when we got to see our child come into the world, and this is just from our own experience, but I would think most couples realize the incredible life-giving aspect of their sexuality. Mm. And that was life. I mean, so that was all around the same time we were trying to use this. And we just had such incredible feeling, this such an incredible gift of our mm-hmm. children, so that we were more open. And I that was probably part of it, that we didn't even want to think about. Even if we weren't using NFP, it would have been difficult to think, okay, now I'm going to go back and contracept. And what if we did this? And what if we decided to make different choices in our career path, because Allison decided to stay at home. She was at Merck. We bought a smaller house. What if we made different choices? So for us, absolutely, it was such an incredible gift, and I would think other couples would probably say the same thing. And we've just taught those three couples, and two are trying to conceive, and they don't know what that experience is like yet. But for us, and we've told couples of pre-Cana, it's just indescribable. It's such a supreme gift when you have a child that's given to you, because we have friends that cannot have children. I know there's a certain, you would know the statistic less, of people that want to have a child and can't. So for us to have a child and to be gifted with a fourth child, well, that's an incredible gift.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Betty and I have spoken about our infertility problems, and our oldest son is adopted, and how difficult waiting. And her coming from a family of nine and a lot of fertility. She's got two sisters with eight children and another brother with five children. So, you know, there were a lot of kids in the family, and then here we were wanting to have children and couldn't, and you're trying. And initially we had contracepted thinking, and that's the folly. Everybody goes into contracepting automatically assuming that they're fertile. And then they find out that 10, 12, and now it's even increasing, maybe 14% sometimes in some of the statistics of the population are really infertile or subfertile. And God doesn't create every time people are together. So there's always a gap. And we had a couple of women on last year, both of whom have seven children. And the one it took her 3 years to conceive her first child. And she never contracepted. They wanted children right away because they didn't get married until they were in their late 20s. And she wanted to have a big family, so they wanted to have children right away. And it took 3 years for them to conceive. And there was nothing wrong. Now she's got seven, and she's in her 40s. But she spoke to how difficult those years were waiting to have the child. And so a lot of people, assume that they have this fertility that they have to block and turn off and not use and suppress. And we speak in the classes about the fertility being a gift and the children being a gift, as you mentioned, Gary. And I can remember the day that our son came home, and we just were like so wowed over the whole thing that how could you just turn around and say, well, you don't want more, unless there's another situation overwhelming that really, to the benefit of the family and to the benefit of each other, that you have to postpone or wait. So I think all of, and the amazing thing in the class, for those who are listening, it's not just the nuts and bolts in the class. It's not just the mucus and the temperature and all the other issues. It's about sexuality, and it's about intimacy, and it's about the gift of children, and it's about your fertility, and it's about managing, and all of this in a four-hour time frame with people that know what they're talking about and who are trained to answer your questions. So I would encourage anyone who's listening that if you have even the remotest or slightest interest at all in taking a natural family planning class, to either contact the radio station here at 345-1570 or on the website at Holy Spirit Radio at 1570.com, or call the Family Life Office down at the Archdiocese and inquire and get information. And for everybody out there who is using natural family planning, get some pamphlets. And if you have a doc that doesn't support natural family planning, the next time you go for your GYN checkup and your pap smear, take the pamphlets in and ask them if they'll put it, ask him or her if they'll put it in the office, because it's another form of evangelization, and it may be the very first time that that doc ever hears about natural family planning.
But also, one of the main concepts of natural family planning is the church's teaching that we're called to be responsible parents. And it's all about responsible parenthood, so that we have these loving, beautiful children that are such gifts, and we appreciate these gifts that God's gives us. It's our responsibility to be able to clothe and feed and educate, so that if we can't do that, if we're, you know, out of work or, you know, have an illness, then you have the opportunity to postpone having children. But if you can, and you willingly, lovingly love each other and understand that beautiful love that you can have for children, it does give it a whole different outlook, I think. But we, in our parish, to step back a little bit, we've been extremely fortunate at St. Ignatius Parish in Yardley. We have, our Monsignor has had every priest and deacon give homilies on NFP. And we also have pamphlets in the back of our church, on at every doorway of our church. We advertise every week in the bulletin that natural family planning is a method. And I think that that really is helpful for most parishes, at least to publish it in their bulletin, because then people see that. They understand, oh, well, this is a teaching of the church. At least they're offering it somewhere, you know? And I think that's really helpful. So I think that a lot of people, even if your priests don't want to speak about it on the altar, that maybe perhaps they could offer the NFP classes or at least the Family Life Office's phone number to call to register for a class or to find out about a class.
We only have a few minutes left to go, so now that you've made your radio debut and the hour has just about flown by, before we run out of time, I want to take the opportunity to thank you both for coming here and being a witness and being such a beautiful example of a Catholic marriage and a Catholic family in this society that we live in, where we live in a culture of death. And I hope that your story, which we'll make copy of tapes and give it to you, and you can make copies and distribute them for Christmas gifts to your family and friends, will go out far and wide to maybe encourage some other couples to consider the possibility of, if not instructing in NFP, at least considering going to an NFP class and maybe even coming to a class that you guys are teaching. So Betty and I really appreciate your being here and appreciate your witness and testimony. So if you have any parting comments before we close, feel free to jump in now. We got about 2.5-3 minutes left.
Thank you, Les and Betty. Thanks for having us. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. Thank you. And we believe in this, and we're fortunate to have met both of you. You've instructed us, and we feel like we're going on a new journey here. And I guess I would just say for anybody else out there, at least to, I think there's so many people that aren't even informed. So at least just try to be informed about it and then go from there. That's the, so and we're going to try to do our part in our parish, and we're just going to let the Holy Spirit do the rest.
Great.
And you're doing a great job at St. Stan's. It's wonderful to see when we go there that there's always people there that want to learn more about NFP, and it's all because of you, and that's wonderful.
One final announcement. We have the Stand Up for Life dinner coming up this Sunday afternoon at the Franklin Plaza, Wyndham Franklin Plaza at 4 p.m. You can probably still get tickets from the Pro-Life Union of Southeastern Pennsylvania. And we just like to end with a short prayer. Hail Mary, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you, and have a great weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. NFP for Life is produced by Holy Spirit Radio and can be heard on the third Friday of every month at 4 p.m. and encores the following Sunday at 2 p.m.